This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Sparky Fiverr with you. Charlie Usen. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Steve Sparky Fiverr here, and welcome in. I vented about the Brewers in the first hour, about the comments made by the Brewers owner. If you want to go back and check that out, you can. TheFanMilwaukee.com or on your Odyssey app. We talked about John Tonge versus Cam Jones. Badgers versus Marquette. Who would you trust late in the game to win it? That poll question up at The Fan Milwaukee on Twitter and Facebook. Make sure you get it and vote. Also, still to come on the show, we'll get Charlie's Sounds of the Day coming up in the next segment. Our Green and Gold update, the Hall of Famer, the left tackle, Joe Thomas, former Wisconsin Badger, joins us at 4 o'clock. Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB insider and USA Today, joins us coming up at 4:20 to talk more about the Brewers owner's comments from spring training. Joining us now, Kyle Soppe, Pro Football Network analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Soppe, PFN. Kyle, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me. Let's talk some Milwaukee sports, everything. And not a bad time of year for you guys.
Yeah. Well, the owner has me livid right now with the Brewers, so we won't talk about the Brewers. We'll just move on and talk about something that's a little bit more positive, like the Packers. So you have the big predictions out, bold predictions over there at Pro Football Network, and we always have a bunch of guys on from Pro Football Network over the course of the year. I love the mock draft simulator that you guys have. I'm on it every night doing that. So talk about the bold predictions and how this all came to be and what you use, what methods you used to make the bold predictions.
Yeah, I mean, point blank, I've got Jordan Love potentially earning himself a trip to the MVP ceremony this time next year. Ooh. Just really impressed with what he's done here. I mean, we saw him mature down the stretch, and in the piece I wrote about how it was kind of like watching a quarterback go through puberty, and I get that that might not be the most sexy comparison there, but I mean, we saw a guy that was willing to take risks in the first half of the season. He was just putting the ball in harm's way so often, and then he closes out the regular season with 7 straight games without an interception. Obviously, we see it fall apart in the playoff game, but that's a 1-game sample size, 4 quarters. Not worried about that. I'm more impressed by the 2 months prior, and a guy that, listen, he matured. However you want to phrase that, whether my clunky comparison is the way to do it or not, I don't know. But 9.5 yards, average depth of throw when blitzed in the first half of the season, that fell by nearly 3 yards in the second half of the season. To me, that's a guy seeing defenses, learning to make his reads in year 2. Year 3, I think we're looking at big things from Love, especially if they get the wide receiver 1 that Josh Jacobs so badly wants.
All right, so let's talk about it from the aspect of what the Packers have right now, because I think there are a lot of Packer fans that look at this and go, okay, yeah, the MVP thing might be a little lofty, but maybe if they get a true number one wide receiver like Davante Adams or somebody to come in here, maybe that makes things easier. When you start talking about MVP Jordan Love, what do you foresee happening this offseason to put him in that position?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It would be great to see Adams back in green and gold. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's not off the realm of possibility, but you mentioned the mock draft simulator. I've run through that as much as you, if not more. It's part of my job here. And we've got them routinely taking a wide receiver 1 in that late first-round window, whether it's Golden from Texas, Burden from Missouri. We've got them adding to the repertoire that, quite honestly, I think is still talented. You're just missing somebody at the top. They had the fifth highest average depth of target last season. Without a number one that I really trust down the field, Jaden Reed's a great option, but he's more in that slot build. I like Golden from Texas going to this offense, giving them a vertical stretch. That's if they don't get Davante Adams. If they get Davante Adams, we know what he brings to the table. He's the one. He's downfield. Jaden Reed doing his thing underneath. I think this offense could take off in a big way.
Talking with Kyle Soppe of Pro Football Network. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Soppe, PFN. Let's talk about some of the predictions for the other teams in the NFC North. My producer kind of screwed up in his brain. He's a Bears fan, even though he grew up here in Milwaukee, and his dad grew up outside of Wrigleyville, so he brainwashed him as a child. Nothing I can do about it. Bold predictions for Chicago and the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough break for him, but I think he's in a good spot, which is not something I've really been able to say about Chicago in quite a while here. But Caleb Williams, I think he's going to be the most impressive year two quarterback. Listen, we know we had plenty to offer in the rookie class this year. Jaden Daniels obviously did big things, not too far off of the Super Bowl, and Bo Nix got his team to the playoffs. Caleb Williams was his distance third in our QB plus metric, and I don't think that was a mistake. But what we saw from him as the season wore on, kind of like Jordan Love, is that he kind of came into himself, and they're getting Ben Johnson. They're bringing in offensive minds. You take away from Detroit, you add to Chicago. I think we're looking at a quarterback in Caleb Williams who came into the league with all sorts of pedigree. We didn't see it paid off in spades the way sometimes you want it to as a rookie, but even still, we're looking at a singular data point in his first season. There was enough improvement down the stretch of the final month of the regular season that I think he's an above-average quarterback in a division that requires you to score in bunches.
Let's be honest about something. You're not saying any of this if Eberflus is still the head coach of the Chicago Bears, are you? If we're being honest, you're not saying any of this. But because Ben Johnson is there, now everybody changes perspective on Caleb Williams.
100%. Jared Goff was average to below average before Ben Johnson gets there. And before we know it, he's getting invites to the MVP ceremony. I bet him in the preseason to be MVP. Obviously, that ticket didn't cash. But the idea was still there that Ben Johnson can elevate all the shifts around him, and you're talking about an offense in Chicago that I'm not confident in their running game. I like their receivers. The defense is going to give up points. Caleb Williams is going to be in a spot where he's going to have to succeed. And with a full season under his belt and a competent head coach calling the plays, I think he can do it in 2025.
Time with Kyle Soppe, Pro Football Network here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Let's move on to the next bold prediction from Pro Football Network, that involving the Minnesota Vikings. I think there's more of a growing belief every day now that Sam Darnold does not end up back in Minnesota, which then opens up the door for who will be quarterback in Minnesota, and then how does that affect their future immediately here in the next season?
Yeah, I mean, with or without Sam Darnold, listen, where were we 12 months ago with the Vikings? It's like, yeah, they might be okay, but the quarterback's a big issue.
Yep.
Okay, they get an outlier Sam Darnold season, whatever. I don't think that's going to happen, whether Darnold's back, which I'm with you, I don't think happens. And J.J. McCarthy, you're talking about a pseudo-rookie. He hasn't played an NFL game. You're expecting a lot of them. So why has our opinion changed in a dramatic way from where it stood 12 months ago? I don't see it. San Francisco made it to the Super Bowl a year ago, and then they fell flat. If there's going to be a team that mirrors that, I think it's the Vikings. I mean, they played too many close games, 13th place offense in our metric. To me, that they overachieved in a big way. If they fall outside the top half, I think you're looking at a team that struggles to get to 500, especially if the Bears take that step forward and they get beat down within that division.
I don't know. As a Packer fan, I'm looking forward to Justin Jefferson retiring or going to another damn team. I've about had my fill of Justin Jefferson in this division. The last one to talk about, obviously, is the one that everybody thought was going to be in the Super Bowl last year, and they couldn't finish. Will they finally be able to finish this year as new coordinators are in place in Detroit for the Lions?
Yeah, I mean, coming into the playoffs, I had them power ranked as the best team in the league, and I definitely wasn't alone. In that regard, I think you've got a team that runs it best, that basically does what they did this year, next year, and they've got every chance in the world to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I think for the second time since the merger, we get a team to finish consecutive regular seasons with a plus 200 point differential or better. They were plus 222 this past season. And I really don't think they take a massive step back. I mean, you mentioned the coordinators, and that's obviously going to hurt. But I think this team is just so it's such a good fit with what Jared Goff does. Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously Jameson Williams taking that next step forward. Jahmyr Gibbs might be the best running back in football before we know it. And when Aiden Hutchinson's right, that defense is well above average. They obviously got banged up toward the end of last season, and that killed him because there was no room for error. Jared Goff can't operate in a system like that. But Hutchinson gets back. They hover around average, if not above average, on the defensive end. I think you're looking at another dozen-plus wins for Detroit and every chance to make right on what was a lost season once they got to the playoffs this year.
I'm on the opposite side of this. I think that Detroit Lions offense does go backwards for a couple of different reasons. I think everybody talks about Ben Johnson being great for Jared Goff, and I agree. All right, I'm not going to disagree with that. So if that's the case, then I believe Jared Goff probably takes at least a half step back without Ben Johnson being there. But I think where they are going to be hurt even more is the creativity and the run game that Ben Johnson used, I think, is going to hurt them more than anything and will be more of a factor in that offense taking a step back. And that's why I don't think that offense will be as good as it was previously.
I don't necessarily disagree with the sentiment there, but I mean, if Jahmyr Gibbs is kind of as good as I think he is, he might transcend offensive play caller like Ben Johnson. I mean, I struggle to put these initials on him, but CMC, he was good for what, 100 catches and 2,000 yards in Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to drop this offense that low. So if Jahmyr Gibbs is that kind of guy, David Montgomery can stay healthy, give him a 1-2 punch. I'm not sure Jared Goff has to be an MVP candidate. If he can be Brock Purdy, for lack of a better way to stick with the CMC thing, I think he can game manage his way to a successful season. I'm with you that this division's going to be good. Would it shock me if they went 2-4 in the division? I don't think it would. But I side on 4-2, 5-1 is the more likely outcome. If we're talking mean outcomes, I see him winning at least a dozen games again.
But Kyle, tell me this. Because you have Jordan Love winning the MVP. How does Jordan Love win the MVP and not win the division?
No, he doesn't. I said he'd get invited to the ceremony, which is something Jared Goff did this past year. So you just have to be in the top five to get an invite. Realistically, his outs to an MVP trophy are a little limited because of his lack of mobility. I mean, we see Josh Allen, you see Lamar Jackson, you see these guys break the game in so many ways that I don't think Jordan Love can do, even operating at his ceiling. But maybe they win the division. They have a shot. I think they'll be there. I mean, none of us had Minnesota in that conversation. They could have won the division on the last game of the regular season, even with Detroit running as hot as they did. So maybe maybe they both win 13 games. Green Bay wins a late one at Lambeau. He wins the tiebreaker, gets him there.
So the Jordan Love thing obviously was the reason that I called you to get you on the air. That was the one that surprised, I think, a lot of Packer fans. What was, do you think, your boldest prediction? Was it Love or was it something else?
I think Love was the most bold. I think if you want to get the kind of creative, I've got Trevor Lawrence having a massive season with the changing coach in Jacksonville. And, I mean, as far as, you know, kind of skewing history here, I think the Steelers have a losing season under Mike Tomlin. That might not seem like the most crazy of predictions because I don't think any of us think they were as good as they showed last season. But, I mean, Tomlin and losing season, you'd be a very poor man if you bet on that over the course of the last two decades. I don't see it. This team outscored by more points than any other team by a wide margin in the first quarter. And teams that struggled in the first quarter largely struggled to win games last season, unless you were the Pittsburgh Steelers, in which case you win 10 games and go back to the playoffs, because that's what Mike Tomlin teams do. I don't think that's the case in 2025.
Until Aaron Rodgers shows up. Kyle Soppe, a Pro Football Network analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Soppe, PFN. Kyle, thanks so much for coming on, man. Let's do this again.
Sounds good. I'll hold you to that.